Broadcasting live from the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in the ASTD International Convention and Expo.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton at ASTD 2014 ICE, Washington, D.C. Enjoying your time here, Stone?
I'm having a good time, but I assert, once again, as I did yesterday, I think we ripped off Benny Hill on that intro music. I swear the first few bars.
Well, this guy would know.
So we'll find out from him. In this segment, we have with us program director. He's an organizational development, executive development guy with Keenan Flagler Business School at UNC Chapel Hill. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Mr. Tony LaFoley. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you, Stone. Pleasure to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Lots of stuff that we want to talk about, but one of the areas of focus, and we've been talking about this with some other folks over the last couple of days, want to learn a little bit about your perspective on training, efficacy, relevance, value, ROI. So I'm just going to open it up with one kind of broad stroke question, if I might. How do you, in your practice at Keenan Flagler, how do you evaluate and assess what employees need in the first place? Not how well the training went, but how do you just even assess what they need?
Well, it all starts with a conversation up front with the companies we work with. We, it's very easy to say on a surface level, you just got to ask the right questions, but you really do. You need to, and then you go and start digging. I'll give you an example. You know, we will work with clients and they'll come in and start saying things like, we really need help in change management. We've got a lot of things going on. And then you start to dig deeper and you find out that really it's something very different. It's just how they're handling change is the result. So it's really getting clear on what is the original cause for the issues they're facing. I'll give you an example. With that change management piece I just brought up, the client actually was referencing they had some people changing in personnel, and they just wanted the leaders to be able to think broader that rather than just filling the role. Well, that's something very different from change management, but that's what change management was to the client. So it's really getting clear on what they're really asking for.
So now, as your role as program director, you're a program director for the university, or are companies working through the university?
Yeah, so I'm a program director with the university. I work in the business school, and I'm dedicated to custom learning. So what that means is we have access to some fantastic faculty, and a lot of companies recognize that they would benefit by building a program that's tailored specifically to their needs. So rather than sending employees out to, say, an open enrollment program, which has its benefits, you get exposed to different industries and different companies, there's also a great benefit by really tailoring a company to what your employees need. I'll give you an example. So you learn a bit about strategic thinking, and at the same time, you're building your execution plan based on your own company's strategy, and that's being facilitated by one of our faculty. That's one example.
So the companies partner with the university in order to implement a program?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where I'm supposed to add my value.
You're the liaison?
So I'm the guy working with the client and really making sure that we've got clear on what their needs are. And I'll be honest, I mean, I'm not an academic. I'm a practitioner by heart. I did this for 10 years out in the field, and I need to be careful because I use it. I'm not an academic, so I often offend people. I'll say real world. Academics work in the real world too. That's absolutely true. But what it means is I don't have a preference. You know, I'm not a strategy professor, so therefore everything starts looking like strategy.
Right.
I'm not an innovation guy, so everything doesn't look like innovation. I'm really,
you You're know, just I trying to assess the needs, and then you match them up with the right guy.
Exactly. And you know, it's not just the right guy. We're so, you know, when people hear business school. And when I heard business school before I started working in this area, the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, lecture,
like
traditional.
Some theoretical thing that doesn't
work in the
real world.
It's going to stay up there, very theory-based and pretty structured.
Right.
Well, what we do and what we do really well is, you know, we go where the conversation needs to go. We've got flexibility, and we can really make a difference based on the experiences we're throwing them into. You know, my fun thing is to get people doing something and them experience it. And then we have a really good debrief.
Because so you learn from what happened, and then you can tweak the program to make it more effective?
Yeah, exactly. And, going back to your original question, Stone, one of the things that we can do is help the client get really, or I can help the client get really clear on on what kind of intervention they want. Intervention may be too strong a word, but it's one I use.
I don't think it's strong enough.
Okay.
But no, that's incredibly valuable, just helping the client or even potential client, just helping them crystallize their thinking and
right.
get clear about what they need and want. That's tremendously valuable, even if that's all you do and they end up going to some other specialist for the
right, exactly.
for the remedy, right?
Because at the end of the day, we're trying to change something. They want at the end of the, they want the program to have an impact. It's not okay. Yes, it's about developing leaders, but really, what's going to change as a result of this program? And you know what? If we're not the right fit, it's better that we figure that out now on the front end, and they go and find a different provider. Then we've both invested time in it, and at the end of the day, they walk out and they don't get the results they want.
And even if that happens, you will still be regarded as a strategic resource, and they'll come back to you when they think they need or want something else, and then you really are a valuable asset to them instead of that quick transaction. I get the sense.
Have you read our business plan?
Hey, man, I stayed up all night doing pre-show
research.
We do
a lot of research here.
That's right. But I get the sense, based on the conversation that we've already had, that your education and maybe even your career started a little bit east of here.
That's right.
Is that right?
Or west, whichever way you want to go.
The long way.
So I'm originally from Jersey. And we're not nice
the old
enough.
Jersey,
exactly.
Not the new one.
There had to be an old one for there to be a new one, right?
Right.
So now, when you're...
Now you're going to jump? I think you don't want to know anything about how I got from Jersey over here? You're going to go to some other topic?
Go ahead. Tell the story.
I want to hear more.
At some point, there was an airplane ride, right? Or
there,
a boat.
There
was.
Was
it a boat?
There was. If you want to know, I'm a failed golf professional. How's that?
Okay. Now, see, that's interesting.
If you want to know, you know, my degree's in psychology, and that probably messed me up with my golf. But... I came over, a lot of foreigners, we end up over here because you have the best college system for us to pursue a sport and at the same time get an education.
Uh-huh.
And I knew I was passionate about psychology and I wanted to see how good I could get at golf. And I got a scholarship, thankfully, to North Carolina. Not UNC, it was a different place. But loved it and ended up staying.
Oh, neat.
So let's say you're golf, psychology, and logically you're a program director of organizational development. So not either one of them. Right?
It sounds
like an American. That sounds like an American.
I could give you the long answer. I would say a lot of what we do, you know, I'm going off script here, but this is my opinion, so it's not UNC. How's that? A lot of what we do is helping people in the business world get a lot of life skills. I mean, some of the most meaningful things that we're able to do is help people it's driven by performance and you want the company to perform well. But for leaders who are A-type and going hard to be able to take a step back and really look at their life and what's important to them. Now, why is that my answer to where you were going, Lee? That's because I learned a lot with my struggles with golf.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
being
you
a
have
psychologist.
A lot of time to think on a golf course, right?
Too much. Way too much time. And, what I've learned through my education in psychology, and then I got to apply that in what I did in the real world for a while. I said it again, real world.
I know.
Sorry, Michael will edit that out. We'll call it the other world or the underworld or something. Now, do you find yourself, you and or your team, on the front end of an engagement or maybe even pre-engagement when an organization is considering working with you guys, defending or proving, I don't know, ROI and relevance and efficacy? Do you have some kind of magic formula or some great words that put them at ease?
Like
on
how many
ROI
smiley faces is good in your
right?
Is
right.
it five? Is it 10? 8?
It's whatever the client defines, right?
See, that's psychology popping up. See, he knows.
You know, if there's one message I wanted to make sure that I share, it's about focusing out and getting clear with the client and asking the right questions. Because if you haven't figured out how you're going to measure success on the front end, then you're not set up for failure, but you're hurting yourself.
Mm.
We don't have a one formula, but the one thing is to really ask the right questions and make sure that the client's thinking about it. So, for instance, my point of contact, there'll be someone like me for the client. When I say the client, that's the company. And they might be an OD, right. OD professional or an OD manager or a director. Well, they're not going to be the ultimate decision maker on whether your program gets funding or not going forward. And so, you want to make sure that, I always think about it, if I was meeting with the CFO, have we agreed on how the CFO is going to measure our success? And that's fundamentally important, because it doesn't matter if I think employee engagement scores going up mean
And if he doesn't care,
the difference.
about, right? If that doesn't mean anything to him.
Exactly. And it doesn't matter if his perceptions or her perception's wrong. The point is their perception is reality and they're the decision maker.
Right.
And you know what, if times are getting tough or if they don't see the value, they're gonna pull the plug. And it's all very good to say that on the surface, but then I'll go even deeper and say, what are the questions you're going to ask them, or how are you going to have the conversation? It's easy when there's not a tangible benefit obvious to just dismiss it. I'll give you an example. We work and we develop leaders in the middle of the organization, and it's hard to say that if they've removed 2 days from a supply chain process, for you to attribute for their business unit, if they've removed 2 days from the supply chain process, and that is a hard dollar number to attribute that back to how the leader led, right? It's not a direct line of sight.
It's a tough link to make.
So if you find that out, you know, oftentimes that gets dismissed. Well, instead, go deeper and say, well, hang on a minute. Would you say that there is no way that the leader, could you prove that the leader had no influence? And they're not going to say that. They're going to say, well, sure, they could have.
Right.
Well, then let's agree on, you know, let's just say 5% of whatever's returned by that change will get attributed to our program. You know, take the conversation to a deeper level if they are hard numbers driven.
Are you listening to this, Michael?
You write some of that down.
See, Michael's not only a producer.
Smart things there.
We have it all documented.
Right.
We're good.
Michael's in our sales training program.
There you
go.
Now,
how does it work, the marketing for your program? Like, are you going to companies and saying, hey, you should use us instead of some consultant? Because do people think to go to a university for help in this area?
Right. They generally don't because, you know, before I started working for UNC,
before you.
Before Tony, no.
No. You're jumping in and not letting me finish my sentence. That's dangerous, boys. Come on. Before I started working for UNC, I would have said the same thing. I wouldn't have gone to a business school for some of the changes that we're helping to facilitate. So we do compete with consultants. How do we market them? I'm not in the marketing branch. You know, I'm thankful that I get to do the designs and I get to build some fun programs.
So somebody in the university is going out to companies and saying, you know, we can help you with this organizational development.
Yeah, we have an awareness piece. We also get a lot of traffic come to us and ask us because of rankings. Rankings are inaccurate at best. However, it's a yardstick that people do use to measure.
Uh-huh.
And the Financial Times, for instance, is a pretty well-established body that ranks business schools. And we're very fortunate to be highly ranked on there. I can't remember what we were last time I checked, but I think it's eighth,
higher now that you're there.
Eighth globally. I wouldn't say that. we did not agree on a line of sight of my 5% that got there.
At least 5%.
At least 5% of it's got to be you, Tony. Come on.
You know, I didn't have that conversation up front. I didn't listen to my own advice.
But no, all kidding aside, obviously, Keenan Flagler, the reputation continues to develop and grow, and there's not a better sales tool on the planet than doing good work. You
right.
guys are obviously doing good work, and you're committed, and you're employing practical measures that really do help people get their arms around these issues. And you're invested not only in the market and the community, mm-hmm. but the profession. Look, you come down here, you invest your time in this. Tell us a little bit about your experience at this conference and how you've approached these few days.
Okay, yeah, it's I'm overwhelmed. That's my honest answer. To see so many companies here able to, you know, I didn't realize this many companies are in the business. I've been doing leadership development for a couple of years, so I do not have the background to know how many are around, but I imagine it's just growing exponentially. And to see so many people willing to come and do this is amazing. It's fantastic, and the more we share about how we do this, the better.
And it's a good sharing group. This is a profession. You guys are pretty good about sharing with each other. At least that's been our experience. And then you've been going to education sessions as well?
I haven't yet. I care so much about my clients. I had some issues come up and I started working.
That was the right answer.
I had something come up and...
Very nicely articulated.
Did it happen in a golf course?
I tried to make it happen on the golf course.
It's a very conducive environment.
Hey, I'm still thinking about building a simulation that's golf-centric, you know, because you
like
think
it.
About it.
I think about it all the time. Maybe
right.
too much.
You get to learn so much about yourself on the golf course.
Isn't that the truth?
All right,
Tony.
That's the name of your book.
There you go. I think someone may have already done that.
Where can
if
our
they haven't, I've got it.
where can our listeners go to learn more, maybe have a conversation with you, somebody on your team about this stuff, and maybe you know, look at having their organization have the benefits of customized training and development through you guys?
Yeah, we're online. You know, if you just Google UNC Executive Development, we've all the information's there. The thing I'd say is, you know, just have a conversation. Reach out to us, because the hardest thing working in custom design is when someone says, I want to see what you can do. Well, it's a blank slate, and we're really going to be listening to what you're doing and building around it. So, you know, you'll see some ideas or maybe some examples of what we can do on there, but that is absolutely not all.
So the answers are in the questions. And if you want results that are well beyond par, talk to Tony LaFoley and that crowd over at Keenan Flagler Business School at UNC Chapel Hill. Well, this has been a lot of fun, man. We thoroughly enjoyed it. We got to have you back sometime.
I'd appreciate it. It's been good. I enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.
All right.
All right. We will be back in a few from the show floor of ASTD ICE 2014.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.